Joining us now to talk about how things got to this point in Najaf is Juan Cole. He's a professor of Middle Eastern and South Asian history at the University of Michigan. Professor Cole, let's back up a moment. There had been a truce in Najaf between American forces and supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr. That appeared to fall apart last week. What happened?
Well, I don't think either side was truly committed to that truce. It required Muqtada al-Sadr to disarm his militia and send his men home. They're not mostly from Najaf. He initially said he would, but then reversed himself and began actually reinforcing his positions there in Najaf. I think he thought that the truce implied that the governor, Ali Azarufi, would leave his men alone as long as they didn't engage in violence. But the governor began arresting the militiamen for being armed and in the street in past weeks. Also, there have been a couple of incidents reported in the Iraqi press where the Marines went to Muqtada's house and appeared to try to arrest him. So that seemed also to be contrary to the spirit of the truce.
The U.S. Had said that the Mahdi army was badly battered in April and May, and now it looks that Sadr once again has thousands of men who are willing to fight for him. Are these new recruits?
No, the Sadr movement is very old now. It must be 20 years old. It was founded by Muqtada's father, who was killed by Saddam in 1999. Muqtada inherited the movement. It's a social movement. It's based in the Shiite ghettos. And the Mahdi army is just youth gangs. I mean, they're young men with rocket-propelled grenades and machine guns. A lot of them are from clans, some of them with a fairly recent rural origin. So when you kill one, it just makes his cousins angry, and then they join up. So it's not the kind of a force that can easily be destroyed.
The resurgence of Sadr follows the departure of the most influential Shiite cleric in Iraq, Ali al-Sistani. He left the country reportedly for the treatment of a heart ailment. But there's some speculation that he actually wanted to be out of the picture as this fighting takes place in Najaf. What do you know or what do you think about that?
Well, the Arabic press in London is reporting from people in Sistani's circle that Sistani began making these plans weeks ago, that the British government has known for 2 weeks that he would be going to London, and that the reason was that it was apparent that a confrontation was about to take place between the Americans and the Mahdi army. And Sistani, frankly, didn't want to be pulled into it. There was danger that the Sadrists would try to kill Sistani in revenge if anything happened to Muqtada al-Sadr. There was also danger that Muqtada al-Sadr would take refuge in Sistani's house and force him to play the role of mediator. So Sistani absented himself from that situation.
This iron fist approach in Najaf, is it meant to send a message to other armed groups in the country?
Well, I believe that it is. It is meant to send a message that the Alawi government will not allow competitors for turf. This is a turf battle. Najaf is a prize. The shrine of Imam Ali generates enormous amounts of money from pilgrimage trade. It is a symbol of the nation, and whoever controls it gets things from controlling it. But the Alawi government is in real danger of undermining itself with at least religious Shiites by being seen to desecrate the cemetery of at the Imam Ali shrine or the shrine itself. And the U.S. is in the position, I think, of making itself really hated and throughout the Muslim world by behaving in this way.
Professor Cole, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
University of Michigan Professor Juan Cole. He's author of Sacred Space and Holy War, The Politics, Culture, and History of Shiite Islam. He spoke to us from Ann Arbor.